Sire Knots, and welcome to another edition of Observations. I am your host, Sovereign Sire, brought to you by the good or not so good people at julieland.com. And as always, I'm joined by the amazing, the legendary, the sickly Mr. Richard Avery.
Can I ask a question? Am I the good or the not so good? What did you put me
in? I think today you're the not so good.
Okay. Good. I kind of feel better that way because then it gives me something to aim for. Like, I have something to work towards.
Well, some days you're like a villain, and then other days you're just like crotchety.
I'm off.
And then other days you're just awesome. So it's
just
all
crabby.
It is what it is. And joining me today in the Sov Pod, which is like the Lotus Pod.
I feel like it's okay. I feel like the Sov Pod, it's like when I hear that, I think it sounds like some like speed racer would have like stripes and a number. And
it's the soft pod because I'm like, it's like my pod because I'm like the girl who fell to earth. We have Jesse Case.
Hello.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi.
Jesse's full of charisma and also is a stand-up comedian.
Thank you.
Are you single?
About the first, I am.
How tall are you?
6'1".
Ooh.
Is this for, are you filling out his Tinder page?
Listen, can't judge how I get my dates.
I have trouble with...
You are straight, right?
I am.
I'm sorry that I used the word straight. I mean, heterosexual.
No, I get it because I've alluded to a lot. I've said things about...
I just didn't want to be presumptive. I was trying to be really cool. Like, you seem really heteronormative, but
I'm very straight.
Be cool enough to think you might not be.
No, and for the listeners that don't know what Tinder is, which was mentioned earlier, it's a video game for serial killers.
Yeah. You are really good at your job.
It's like Candy Crush. It's like a simple app, but just for serial killers.
I call it a completely ridiculous example of humanity in deep shit.
I would do it, but I would put on a toga and turn my phone sideways so I could do thumbs up, thumbs down swiping like a Caesar.
Right.
like a complete up. Damn. No, I don't have. I can't do Tinder. I don't have Facebook anymore. So it's just like I have like the fan page thing, but all my photos are like 3-4 years old. Yeah. So, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah. Tinder made me very sad. It was, my brother was like, you got to get on Tinder. You got to get out there, soldier. You got to get out there.
Yeah.
And it just immediately made me very sad.
It seems sad.
Just the way that people interact on there was so, and this is like people, I didn't put on there my profession or any modeling photos, nothing like that. Just very like a few selfies and, you know, like I'm a writer.
Yeah.
Like that was it. And the response was so incredibly sexually aggressive right away. And it just threw me and I was like, man, like how do civilians deal with this?
Can you give an example? I don't mean to probe.
Okay, I had a guy that was in the first message or two was like, he was really cute. Was like, oh, let's like get off Tinder and just text or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. And then he was like, you look really exotic. Like, you must have something else in you or whatever. And I was like, no, not really. I'm pretty white. And a little more back and forth. And I was like, oh, well, my mom's French. He's like, see, I knew it. And it was like, he was already like kind of, I was like, that was my first red flag where it was like this really aggressive. Like, no, I knew there had to be something. And then he goes into immediately like, you're so beautiful. You're so cute. Can I get like some pictures of your feet? Can I like,
whoa.
Like he was like immediately trying to get that. And I was like, no, that's weird. Like, I don't.
Wow.
Like, but because I'm also
to the feet.
But because I'm also a sex worker, it's like I'm immediately going like, oh, so you're like either I'm being catfished by like a fetishist that like that's his thing.
Sure.
But it's like so being a sex worker is like having a superpower in a way because you have this X-ray vision for people's libido and whatever's fucked up about them. Like that like men are generally driven by like their sexual impulses.
Yeah.
And so you get very good at like winnowing out, you know, like what people are after.
Yeah.
But so that was like one example of it was more like weird, but it was the fact that it was so fast and the response was so angry. It was just like, no, why not? And then like, again, the thing with like the ethnicity or whatever, where he was like, no, see, I knew there was something. I knew it. And I'm just like, it's really aggressive, dude. Like who cares?
Yeah.
Like it was like the red flag was the immediate need to like put his worldview like on like that I had to agree with him in some way. Like he was just like excessive flattery, and then if I wasn't like immediately responsive to it, like kind of aggressive, like that was like one weird example. And a lot of stuff would just be like this immediately like send me a selfie, send me this, send me that.
Okay.
And it's just like but like immediately where I'm like there's pictures on Tinder like
right, sure.
Like what do you
makes
need
sense
more?
Yeah, men are very
weird desperate
weirdly desperate but completely driven by sex completely. And as much as I want to think we're not as you know, as a male, as much as I want to think we're not. A great example, I'm going to have to articulate this great, or I'm going to sound like the biggest asshole in the world. A great example is gay men. If you go to a pride parade, it's so sexual. It'll be like a guy with wearing a thong, leading a guy by a leash. But all men are just as horny, whether they want to fuck other guys or women.
Right.
So that's just what's in our head.
Yes.
It's just they're able to do it because it's like another dude that's that horny
right.
too.
It's also, exactly.
So it's like a mutual thing. So to me, that's the same as straight guy. It's just like that's...
There's almost like...
Does that make sense? Did I say that? Like the lack
of the lack of shame?
Yeah.
Or the lack of... Like,
well, it's an agreed... Yeah.
Yeah, like they just have more of a lack of like... We're freedom and we're
right.
free and,
yeah.
and we're around yeah. people who think the same things.
Yeah.
And
totally.
And,
but,
and there's also, they can yeah. like let those walls down. Well, we're all like, oh, we can't do that. We
well,
can't.
A lot of what fucks straight men up is the lack of understanding of women, the lack of understanding of your partner and putting a bunch of barriers there that don't need to be there. I mean, I think the difference between men and women is probably, men and women, human men and women is probably about the same as a male and female dog. Like everything, like you can't even fucking tell until yeah. you look at their junk. Everything else is thrown on us, you know? Everything else is thousands of years of whatever. Right. But
I just think women are evil and men are pigs.
Well, for me, it was just like, it was this thing where it was like this guy, like we'd have a nice exchange. And it was like within four or five things, he was like, you're really sexy. You're really this. And like, I wasn't posting those kinds of photos.
Sure.
Like, and it was just this thing where I was like, just immediately taking it to like.
Yeah, but the guy's
like,
just.
Oh, like
he's
really
still trying forward. To flatter you.
He's trying to. Yeah, but that was that thing where I was just like.
He's trying too hard.
Trying too hard. Because my thing is, I just come at people really real.
Yeah, but you have right. to think
and,
about.
And so my thing is like. It's more like that the response is like out of turn where it's
like
we're like having kind
douche.
Of like we're
yeah.
having like this sort of back and forth that's like funny and light and then you're like the immediate need to like let's turn the sexual right away,
yeah,
let's turn
yeah.
the sexual right away. And it's like
yeah.
we're on Tinder, it's already sexual. You don't have to
right.
you don't yeah, have to
also,
turn it that way. It's
yeah.
already there.
Right.
Like, it's fine.
But I also think
good
you're
call.
I think you're overthinking it. I think the guy is just a guy and he's just trying to do whatever works and he's gotta say what he's gonna say, and it is a weird setup to begin with.
Yeah.
And I think he's just doing it, playing his game. And if you were any
yeah.
other girl that wasn't doing what you
my
do,
job, yeah.
it'd be different. It probably
well, I think too. It's like that was the example of society, how it's turned out is like this thing of that a lot of girls, yeah, like would respond to that as a compliment, like oh yeah, I'm sexy, yeah, like that's every
girls
girl's
love
like,
to hear that
biggest
shit.
Ambition, I
mm.
guess,
yeah.
is like I don't know.
As
maybe
a guy,
a
like
feminist.
I can say,
I'm like, tell me I'm smart.
Like,
appeal to my intellectual vanity. Like,
yeah, but you tell. But I'm being around normal girls that don't do porn, which is very rare for me. But when I am, it's like, yeah, I can tell a girl, oh yeah, you're sexy, you're beautiful, and they, you know, they don't hear it all the time. Like
so,
you girls
oh,
hear it all the
oh,
time.
Oh wait, so I'm just being an asshole, is what you're saying?
No, I just think you're being.
No, it's okay.
You're just jaded. You're just jaded.
I mean,
so I'm not being persecuted. I'm being an asshole.
You're being jaded.
I think most.
I think you're being jaded. That's all.
Okay.
Most persecution, most perceived persecution is sort of on the victim in a lot of ways. I'm not talking about. See, that came out weird. Expect letters.
expect tweets.
I mean little things. I don't mean like harassment. I
yeah.
don't mean anything racial or anything like that or sexist, blatantly sexist. I think that guy sucks at making someone feel good.
Yeah.
And he's just
yeah.
trying to, I mean, yeah, he wants to get his dick wet,
yeah.
but he,
yeah.
that's the goal for him. But I think he, you know, just, I don't know, maybe he's a little Aspies.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just think that, like I said, and I think the whole thing now just lacks all this. It's just so, just all bullshit. Ultimately
yeah.
it is. And you know, you could say like, I'm bullshitting him and you're, yeah, you know, everybody's playing the game.
Yeah, that's true.
It's,
so I'm not, it's like I'm going on there being honest about who I am.
Yeah, everybody's playing this game, you know, and it's
right.
like,
but
oh.
it is. I don't know. So,
and it's not the place. Like Tinder's no different than Angry Birds. It's a game, and so like it's just
right.
it's a game, and you're just gonna play the rules, and you play the game, and then you win, you lose, you score some points, you don't score some points. It's like it doesn't matter. It's just a game.
So if you don't use Tinder, how do you meet women?
I just meet them.
At the club.
No?
Well, no, this is all about Jesse right now.
No, it's,
and,
I don't meet a lot of people. My, you know, I've had a few long-term relationships as far as just getting the yayas out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that happens with you know, where that's sort of some weird agreed upon thing where you sort of know it's not going somewhere and you just do that. But
I had one of those, but it was really painful.
What do you mean?
Caught feelings.
Oh yeah, well, we've discussed this before. Someone always catches feelings.
Oh, it's the worst. Like no matter how cool you think you are, mm-hmm. like it happens.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you catch feelings. And so that's not really my thing. I'm not so casual, I guess. I just you meet people when you meet them. It's never something I'm looking for.
Were you
looking for love.
Tell us about growing up, like about you. So were you always kind of a loner?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm an only child, and okay. I was a latchkey kid, so I spent so much time alone that I just sort of learned how to entertain myself. And, like, there's no turning off my head. I'm also, like, a weird sober guy, so I just have to lay there, and it takes me, like, 2 hours to fall asleep every night.
Right.
So I just have to lay there being crazy until
I've had the back and forth.
That's what I do.
Because I used to be the same way. Like, I was also, I'm not an only child, but my brother was primarily...
Your brother's dead to you? I get it.
He was... me and my brother actually, ironically, we're very close now.
Nice.
But when we were younger, he ran away when he was 13 and was just gone. So I was raised mostly by myself. So in a lot of ways, I have a lot of traits of an only child.
Wow.
So
he was the one kid that actually ran away.
Yeah.
Everyone else like makes it to the end of the block.
Yeah. No, that was some.
I made it to the park.
He was some serious business.
Whoa.
He was the fuck out.
Wow.
So he left me behind. In the shit,
right?
Like being dropped in Vietnam, and and so, but I had the same traits where it's like I was very good at entertaining myself. I spent a lot of time alone,
mm-hmm.
and like you guys both, like it takes me a long time to turn my head off because of that. Like I'm far more comfortable in my own little world. You can leave me alone for hours. I'm fine.
The best analogy I heard about this lately, I just talked to this with a friend. I said somebody said this, and I might have been a comedian that said it, but I thought it was the great analogy. They said the voice in my head is like that annoying roommate that won't leave, and I went, yes, because my voice never shuts up, like never.
Then you get like pop up ads in your own head.
Yeah, it's like it just like goes
like, and I'm like doing, a crazy thought out of like what the fuck, like some
yeah.
Like, I'll be driving and have like a memory from when I was seven, and just like.
Like all of a sudden you're like, what the fuck? Where did that come from? And why am I thinking about this weird thing that happened in 1975?
Everything triggers I was listening to a song on the drive here and just had this memory, just had this thought. I was living in Seattle and I had just gone through this breakup. I was a fucking mess, like just this gaping open wound. But someone had left all these whippets in my car. So I spent all night just doing whippets by myself, listening to this record. On this patio,
I gotta ask, what record?
Like,
what
in
song?
The rain, it was "Dark Night of the Soul," which was the Sparkle Horse, MF Doom collaboration before Sparkle Horse killed himself.
Wow,
it's the most depressing record ever written.
I have not heard of Sparkle Horse in 25 years.
David Lynch did all the visuals for it, but it never got released because of weird legal stuff. So what they wound up doing was selling just the CD case, just the jewel case with all the visuals and a blank CD and telling you where you could pirate it. So I finally got it and was listening to it, and I was just a fucking mess doing whippets. And this one song like triggered all that. And I got really like kind of emotional driving here. Like, holy fuck, what a kid. I was such a kid.
I keep saying right? those kind of moments to me is like, it's like your brain is like, is like the front yard with just like a bunch of leaves, and there's somebody walks in with a leaf blower and just blows them all in the air, and then that one little memory just like lands, and you go, what? Where did that come from? Like, why was I thinking?
I wish I could like push a button and get those because I go through like really
the bad ones.
You're like, I struggle with depression. Like, I struggle very intensely with depression. I have since I was about 10 or 11. And, but I'll have these moments where it's like, I'll have the thought of, you know, I'll have that where it's, I'm going through my day and then something happens and it triggers this thing of like, oh, like I remember when I was like literally going to kill myself over this guy that didn't love me back. And then 2 years later, like he came out of the closet because he was gay. So he would have never been able to love me. And it was totally not about me. It was about like this huge struggle going on in himself.
Sure.
And then I'll have this moment of like happiness, like, whoa, like I remember feeling like the world was never going to go my way and like da 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 da. And like,
everybody
and,
has
and
that.
I'm sitting here in
Paris
right
yourself
now
would have been
looking
the
at the Eiffel Tower. And that's the thing that I'm doing. That's, I would never even imagine that to be possible for myself.
Right.
And, like, I wish I could have those moments, like, at the push of a button instead of Prozac. Like, if instead of taking a pill, I could, like, push a button and be like, oh, look at where you were and where you are now and how awesome that is.
But that's also, that's goes back to what I talk about all the time. And I tell this to everybody I know. And that's my advice to everybody always is just, you know what? That's why you wake up every day and you say, I would say, my feet touch the ground. First thought, first words, thank you. And be grateful for everything that you have, and because this is only one chance you get at this, so be just be grateful.
Yeah,
and start.
Gratitude. But how long did it take you to arrive at
gratitude's
that?
Gratitude's a big one.
Right? Hell and back so many times.
That's what I'm saying.
It took me. I'd say I started
because someone told you that advice before you bought into it. Before you did it yourself. Yeah,
I had an amazing teacher and who taught me, made me who I am today, my life. And it wasn't. I guess I have to be honest about this now that I think about it. It was until she passed away.
Right.
Which was 5 years ago.
Wow.
That everything I started, she taught me for 25. She was my business manager slash mom, and she taught me everything I know. And then it turned into this. She was amazing, and that's why I say 5 years ago she passed away suddenly. And I think at that point it was like a part of me feels like, you know, she taught me everything she had to tell me, and then it was like, okay, now you're on your own, Chris. And then, and since then it's been like, okay, now I get it. Now I see it all.
Yeah, it's not a dress rehearsal.
Yeah,
man.
And now I'm trying to help everybody else in my life because I've lived my dream. I want everybody else to live
their
dreams.
Well, no, I think it's like I've had moments like that too where it's like I kicked over into, I don't know at what point it happened, that I switched over to from this thing of how can I feel better to like how can I be of service to others.
When you start helping, when you start helping other people, and it's actually a great feeling.
And I actually started trying to do this thing of like trying to experience other people instead of, like trying to, so even in relationships and stuff, like having like a gentle lead with people, it's like not trying to like pull them into a relationship or so, like, but to have sort of like this thing of like just trying to experience them without trying to like trap them or have them,
first
you
of
know
all,
what I mean?
It's called empathy. It's called first of all, having empathy, but it's also, it's what I've always done with anybody, whether it's business and you've heard me talk about this, but it's like business or personal, whatever. I say, if you want to be here, be here. You don't want to be here, don't be here. You have to let people do and be and whatever they're going to do and be, just like you have to let me. Like I have this rule I've said for my whole career, you know, don't ever tell me what to do and I won't tell you what to do. And people are always like, oh, you can't tell me what to do. I'm like, try telling me what to do. You'll see a whole different side of me. It's like, you just have to let people be people. And I think you let things
and like,
flow
and
you're a lot better off.
When you have that, when you get secure in kind of who you are and what you're doing, and you stop needing other people to be around you.
Right. Like, exactly.
Like that. And that, I think that's the hardest lesson, I think, is like kind of, but that's, I'm interested but in people like that do stand up, like where you're like, oh, I was doing stand up comedy at 20. I was doing, and I'm just like, how the fuck did you have the like, the confidence or like the sense of self to just be like, yeah, I'm going to go be like really independent and like, do this thing I might fail at.
I don't know. I think
like, weren't you afraid of the big bad wolf? Like,
of course,
by yourself?
Of course, I was afraid of the big bad wolf. I've never really. I mean, it's like we were talking about the hell and back thing, multiple times, where it's eventually, and I think I'm very grateful that it was at such a young age for me.
Yeah.
But eventually there was a lot of beauty in the futility. Because at first it's terrifying, right? And then it's really relieving.
Yes.
And that's when it was like, yeah, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. Yeah.
I think, too, I would say like all those stupid cliches you hear when you're a kid, you're like telling your parents or whoever, like, oh, shut up, that's dumb. But I always say like as you get older, you realize they're all cliches for a reason. Like what doesn't kill you does make you stronger. You know, like there is
Asians can't drive.
Yeah,
sure.
That for sure. Yeah, there, you know, and there you can find beauty in anything, and you can like. There's all these things that I always say. Like the older I get, you start to realize, it's a lot of it's true. And I think when you do have a struggle with a tough life, and if you do, like I always say, like the reason I struggle the most and things are more painful, I'm more emotional because I care, and I love what I do. So of course it's going to be more difficult. If I did some job that I didn't care about, it'd probably be a lot easier. But I think we all, as artists, as creative types, we are more sensitive and we are more, you know, we are a little more passionate about, and on stage, I know you put yourself out there in front of everybody, which
is... It takes a long time. Like I'm very hypersensitive, and that was a... it took me a long time to start viewing that as perhaps more of a blessing than a burden.
Yeah.
I still struggle with that daily, but... It took a long, long time.
I really enjoy feeling things, and I think when I get depressed is when I stop feeling things. Like it's like the depression comes from like a lack of feeling, like a lack of passion, a lack call. Of fear. Yeah. Like, and so for me, like depression is a lot of times like, it's more, I register it not as a sadness, but as like a numbness, like where it's like this, like these things that used to excite me, I don't get excited. And like that as a creative person, that becomes terrifying.
Yeah.
It's like, if I can't feel anything, I can't express anything. I'm not motivated to tell these stories or write these characters or have the energy to write this essay about this thing that I was passionate about 2 weeks ago. And like, now I can't find that. Like, so for me, depression is more like this lack of sensitivity. Like when I feel hard and unmotivated and dispassionate. A good call. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm certainly I'm more of an anxious person than a depressive.
Yeah.
But it goes back and forth, and there's really like fine lines between those things, you know. I think that the older you get, we do start all noticing that, like, I mean, the way the brain works is no one's like bipolar or no one's polar.
Right.
That's why bipolar exists, because if you those neurons will eventually just physically burn out.
Yeah.
Those they will electrocute themselves out. And it takes a while to rebuild. So you can't hold on to one feeling for too long. And when you're going through severe depression, sounds like your age at like 10, my age like 11, when it's happening that early in life for whatever reason, for whatever weird thing caused it, you're not old enough yet to realize the pattern of these things and the inevitability that it'll pass.
Right.
I mean, when you're at that age and someone tells you, like I hated school, hated it. I would get panic attacks so bad just the thought of going to school, going to sixth grade. And when someone told me I had 7 years of that left, that's most of my life.
Yeah, as far as you're concerned.
As far as I'm concerned. So, like, that's a life prison sentence. Fuck this shit.
Yeah.
You know? And it just takes you a while before things start, you know, this will be cool. All right. This week's going to really suck, but this will be cool.
And that's why I think, like, one of my favorite things is I tell people all the time that everything in life is temporary. And all these things we know now that get us to get through the day and get through life, it's like I always say to myself, like, God, I wish I had real decent parents who had said these things or taught me. Maybe I wouldn't have listened, maybe, but I didn't have parents who taught me anything. I was helping. I spent 5 years in therapy trying to come up with one thing they taught me. I couldn't come up with one thing. It was like not one thing, not even like how to balance a checkbook, not even anything. So it's like if you just think, I always say, just that's why I try to help my friends with their kids, or I say stuff like, to people, like, tell your kids you love them every day. Tell them.
Of course.
Like, I never heard that. Like, so I always tell people, like, so you wonder why we end up the way we end up. Or
see, I was hugged too much.
Yeah.
It was like opposite deal, man. Yeah. My parents trained me to be codependent.
Yeah.
There was no...
And you're the only child.
Yeah. Yeah. It was because their parents were so shitty.
Yeah.
They were overcorrecting so much. Exactly. They both had such abusive, awful parents.
Right.
That they overcorrected so much that I was like raised like Siddhartha, you know, and it took me a while. It sort of took me a while to forcibly let the world kick my ass a little, you know? So it's a very similar deal.
Oh, weird. I just had this like... Maybe I shouldn't share this on the podcast, but I'm going to do it anyway. I said this weird, like, sense memory, which was that, like, when my brother left, no one talked about it. And so I kind of grew up in this environment where at any moment, like, the, like, some really special, important person could just, like, fucking vanish. And, like...
Well, that's a sick...
Well,
the
yeah,
just,
yeah.
Like, close up around
of
it.
Of course.
And, like, yeah, and that... I realized, no, it's like, we weren't talking about it because it was incredibly painful.
Yeah.
It was like... And, of course, like, my mom's trying to protect me from, like, the anxiety she must have felt about, is he going to be okay? Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing, like...
But whatever, but it's like... And I realized that just now, it's like, oh, that really affected my worldview, like, moving forward. Yeah. Was just like, I've always lived in a world, since that moment, I've just always lived in a world where, like, any moment an anvil could fall out of the sky. Like, that was just, like...
Right.
I think my parents making me sleep in a waterbed full of piranhas influenced something. I don't know what. I haven't gotten to the bottom of it in therapy.
My parents made you charming and facile.
Mine was worse than...
Very quick on your feet, sir.
Thank you.
My parents feeding me nothing but sugar for years is what screwed me up. You know, now I'm addicted to sugar. I can't get rid of it. It's bad for my health. It's like...
And sugar's in everything. Everything turns to sugar in your blood.
And too fucking, many cartoons.
Yeah. My dad would have Vietnam flashbacks, Vietnam War flashbacks, where...
Oh, that's some gangsta shit.
Yeah, sometimes we'd be eating breakfast and this look would come over his face. Where I could tell that in his mind, he still thought he was having a great time in Canada. And Yeah. And that was terrifying. Yeah. It was terrifying. I could tell he still thought he was there, sledding and having beers. And
so horrible scary. Life you led.
Yeah. Horrible life.
But I always think, like, I remember, like, just, you know, when I think about my, like I said, my upbringing is just, was old Italian kind of family, but it was like the whole thing was always like this whole crazy, the dynamics of just, because my grandparents lived next door. And so there was this, not just my parents had to deal, we had to deal with old school grandparents, and you're like,
yeah,
there's all this weird stuff. And I was the youngest, so I just watched all this crazy shit going on around. And like you said, things that happen, you just, now looking back, you're like, nobody ever talked about anything.
Yeah.
Like, nobody talked about anything.
It's amazing to me getting older and realizing how many people were just drunk all the time.
Yeah.
Isn't exactly. that fucking weird? Like you realize how many teachers and how many of your parents' friends, like, my dad worked construction, so all the crew would come over after work.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a blast, you know, me and these guys having hearty laughs.
Yeah.
They were just fucking drunk.
It's the same thing. I didn't realize my brother was on drugs for all those years.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, he was, you know?
Yeah.
It was like crazy. But I feel like we just turned the show into therapy. Group therapy.
I'm saying, like, this should we just it's call like, it Pornstar Therapy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Group therapy. And then we're like,
no.
Nobody loved us. Nobody cared.
I think the theme of the night was memory. I think is maybe probably actually
good
like
call.
Like nostalgia, memory.
Yeah. Nostalgia.
And with that, we must come to the end of yet another amazing, wonderful episode of Observations. We were sharing our observations on memory, childhood, etc. How we got
bad
here.
Parenting.
Bad, sure. Bad parenting.
Too
like
good
bad
parenting.
Kittens.
Over.
Yes, exactly. So my guest was Jesse Case, and why don't you tell my audience where they can find you?
You guys can all find me at Jesse Case on Twitter. That's Jesse Case. JesseCase.com. JesseCaseComedy@gmail.com is how you can email me to tell me to fuck off. Or that something I said bothered you.
We should have you back to read some of it.
And bullshitreference.tumblr.com is a blog that I write, and go to that.
All right. And of course, you all know how to find me. I am at Sovereign Sire on Twitter, and you can find my amazing, super lovely, spiffy new website, ilovesov.com, which is run by the amazing Richard Avery and features much of his super awesome photography, and then my very deep, insightful words. Bye, everybody!